कृतं वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तमहिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम् सो इन् दिस् कठोपनिषद् वी आर् इन् दि थर्ड् वल्ली एण्ड् वी हेव् सीन् दट् Guru Yamraj, let's pay our prostrate, our pranams to Om, to Yamaraj and to Nachiketa. Om Namo Bhagavate Vaivasvataya Mrityave Brahma Vidyacharyaya Nachiketase cha. We offer our homage to the teacher, guru, and to the student. So in the third valli, we find that the example of the chariot. And we had seen last week that they talk about the jiva and the atma consciousness always being together. Jiva is with the atma. That's why we talked about the chhatri, like in an umbrella, one person is holding the umbrella in the heavy rain, other one is walking. So one is conditioned by the umbrella, one is not. So the one holding the umbrella is the jiva, the one not holding is the atma. So that's what we said. And we also studied that the person who pursues the path of highest path of the one who wants to cross over this ocean of samsara, he reaches that state of Brahmanhood, which is Yat Param, which is the supreme, and Abhayam. It makes him fearless because the worldly problems do not affect such an individual. And then we had studied that the Brahman and Atma and the Jiva are like Chaya and Tapa, like light and darkness. So as darkness cannot be without the light, when light is there, darkness or the shadow, it's not darkness means not darkness, but the shadow. So if there is light and then there is an object, then there is the shadow projected. And shadow cannot occur without a light. You cannot have shadow like the sun or the lamp. Similarly, the Atma or the consciousness is required for Jiva to manifest. So that is what we had studied last time. And now today we will do the topic of the start the topic of the Ratha, which is the very important topic in this Kathopanishad, because so far they have given a lot of theory. But these few mantras now will tell us how to practically apply this knowledge in our life. And they have used the simile of the ratha, the chariot, to convey this message. So, Valli 3, mantra number 3. Sharad, you have that? Atma, you have it? You can unmute.
I'm looking, but what page is it on? I'm sorry.
In different
I got it.
books,
I
it
got
is
it. Yeah,
different.
I got
Third
it.
valli
I
in
got
the
it.
third mantra.
152.
Yeah, different books have different pages. Some have, you know.
I got it.
Okay. Atmanam rathinam vidhi.
Atmanam ratinam vidhi.
Shariram ratham evatu.
Sharīram rathamevatu tu.
बुद्धिं तु सारथिं विद्धि
बुद्धिं तु सारथिं विद्धि.
मनः प्रग्रहमेव च
मनः प्रग्रममेव
विल डू फोर्थ ऑल्सो एंड देन आई विल डू द कॉमेंट्री टुगेदर लता यू कैन डू नंबर फोर
च. ओके.
इंद्रियाणि हयानाहुः
इन्द्रियाणि हयानाहुः
विषयांस्तेषु गोचरान्
विषयांस्तेषु गोचरान्
आत्मेन्द्रियमनोयुक्तम्
आत्मेन्द्रियमनोयुक्तम्
भोक्तेत्याहुर्मनीषिणः.
भोक्तेत्याहुर्मनीषिणः.
You can mute. We'll all chant together. 3 and 4. Atmanam rathinam vidhi shariram rathamevatu buddhim tu sarathim vidhi manah pragrahamevacha indriyani hayanahuhu vishayansteshu gocharan atmendriya manoyuk. So the rath or the chariot. So what are the 6 components of the chariot are described in these 2 mantras. So atmanam rathinam vidhi. Atma here does not mean atma as consciousness or self, but atma as jiva. So the jiva is the rathi. Rathinam means the owner of the chariot. So this body is the chariot and the jiva, the individual ego, is the owner of the chariot. So vidathinam vidhi, know him to be the owner. And shariram rathamevatu, and the body is the ratha, is the chariot. Tu means certainly. And then who is the charioteer? Buddhim. Buddhi is the sarathim vidhi. Know the buddhi to be the charioteer. And mana, the mind, is the pragraha mevacha. Graha means the holds. Pragraha means one who holds very well. So the mind is the reins that hold the horses. R-E-I-N-S, reins that hold the horses. And then who are the horses? So they say indriyani hayan. Hayan means horses, ahuhu. So who say, the wise people say, that indriyani are the indriyas, the sense organs, 5 sense organs are the horses. Some people include the 5 organs of action also, but most of the scholars say the sense organs are the 5 horses. And vishayan, and where do the horses run? You know, horses have to have a road to run on. So sense objects, Teshu Gocharan. Gocharan means the where the horses run, the roads, the path. And then who is the enjoyer of this whole thing? So at the same Atma, the ego, who is the enjoyer of all these activities? Enjoyer, sufferer, all of those. Who is this? Atma, the individual, the ego. Indriya is the senses. Mana is the mind. And yukta means aligned or connected with the senses, the mind, and the body. The body is not mentioned, but it is understood. So the ego connected with the mind, the body, and the senses becomes the enjoyer, bhokta. Next line, it is bhokta iti ahu manishinaha, the wise people. Manishina means the scholars, the wise people say that the ego or the individual, when attached or connected with the sense organs, the mind and the body, becomes the enjoyer. That's why in deep sleep, we don't, you know, experience anything, because we have no connection at that time. So we said that in the same example, the chariot in Bhagavad Gita, we also see where Arjuna is the owner of the chariot. Then the Bhagwan Shri Krishna is the charioteer. He's the intellect, but it is the enlightened or the wise intellect that is guided by the scriptures. And the reins are the mind and the horses, and it's the same thing. So the jiva can reach its destination only when the chariot A is guided properly by the intellect, controlled by the reins, and the horses are running in one direction. That's the same way an individual, if I want to reach my destination, I have to make sure that my sense organs are going in the right direction. They are all coordinated. The mind is controlled and by an informed intellect, intellect that is guided by shastras. So what are the roads? So we said there are 5 roads. The horses run on roads, but our senses run on five roads, which are the sense objects. So it is Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. Shabda means sound, that means the ears. Sparsha means the skin, touch. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa. Rupa is the eye, see the form. Rasa is the taste that the tongue experiences, and the nose experiences the selves, the smell. So seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling. So these are the objects or on which the senses roam, as though, just as the horses roam on the street. So that's what happens. And the idea is that the five horses, if they are not in one direction, they run in different directions, then I will never reach my destination. I will go helter and skelter, and we'll talk a little more about that. So the first thing is the body, you know, the chariot should be sturdy. You know, if a chariot I'm driving, if it is broken or the wheel is defective, then the chariot will not move. Like in a car, you know, we don't have chariot, but we have a car. But before we start, we go on a long trip, we make sure there is enough oil, there is enough gas, the tune-up has been done, the car has gone for service. We have a spare wheel in case, you know, of problems. So same way, the body has to be kept healthy. The body has to be kept healthy so that I can do my, because that's why in Upanishad they say, sthirai rangaihi stushtu vagam sastanu bihi vyashema deva hitai yadayuhu. So in the Shanti mantra of the Upanishad they say, may my body be healthy, not to maybe to I can enjoy more sense pleasures or just live a long life or collect a lot of wealth or power or fame. So devahitam yadayuhu. So whatever life you have given me, Bhagwan, make sure my body remains healthy so I may serve you. So the purpose of human birth is, yeah. So the purpose of human birth is to serve Bhagwan and to attain enlightenment. So through karma yoga, through service, so the body can only work efficiently if the body is kept healthy. So eating well, exercising, you know, eating the right amount, not overeating, living a life of moderation. In Bhagwan, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, yukta hara viharasya yukta, you know, so eating the right amount of food, sleeping the right amount, not oversleeping or not undersleeping, not overeating or undereating. So eating enough, sleeping enough, working enough. So then only the chariot will be healthy. Then what should I do with this body? How should I make my life productive? So they say, do sadhanas. So sadhanas, again, people just say, I'll do on my own. You know, I don't need to follow any book. I don't need to follow guru. So sometimes they feel like they're doing karma yoga. So they say, I will do karma yoga. Then another time after 10 days, they say, are you know what? Bhakti is better. So let me do bhakti. Not like that. So one has to systematically follow all the sadhanas under the guidance of a guru and under the guidance of a scriptures. And the horses have to be tamed. What does it mean that my senses should be under my control? Some people, they just keep on listening to, you know, all the time to music or just, you know, like that. Or some people just keep watching TV or the internet or overeating, you know, they don't have control over their diet or overactivity. Even if you take the organs of action, they should live a life of moderation and live a life of control. So how should a student approach this topic? So there's a very beautiful story of Bhagwan Buddha, Lord Buddha. He was once sitting in meditation and he had a student named Ananda who was like his caretaker, like his assistant, and he would make sure that, you know, he was not disturbed and all that. So he was sitting in meditation and a student and a, you know, a person whom he didn't recognize, he came. He said, I'm here to meet Bhagwan Buddha. So he said, well, he's in meditation. He said, I have a question to ask him. He says, why don't you sit here? He's right here next door, right here in meditation in the same room. Just be quiet. And when Bhagwan wakes up from his meditation, you can ask the question. So this man sits for a while and then gets up and is ready to go. So Anand says, where are you going? You didn't get your answer to your question. He said, I already got it. So Anand couldn't understand. How did he get the answer? Buddha was still meditating. He didn't talk to him. So when Bhagwan Buddha woke up, I mean, came out of his meditation, Anand says, you know, there was this person who came to ask you a question. And he sat here for 10 minutes and said, my question was answered. How is that? How did that happen? So Anand loved to take care of horses. So Buddha gives him the horses example. He says there are four kinds of horses. One is you, no matter how much you push the horse, even you whip the horse again and again, the horse will not move. It will just stay. It is lazy. Second one will move only when it is whipped. When the horse is whipped, it will move. When you stop whipping, it will stop. Okay, the third one, you don't even have to whip. You just, maybe one time he has been whipped. All you do is show him the whip and the horse will start running. And the fourth kind of horse is that you don't even need to whip. You don't even need to show the whip. You just put him on the chariot and he just goes and he knows where you want to go and he follows. So he said, I don't understand. How does that relate to this man's question? So he says there are four kinds of disciples. One kind is no matter how much you tell the person, he will not follow directions. You know, he will not follow. You keep on telling him again and again, he will not follow. The second one only will follow as long as you tell him. You tell him, do this, he will do that. He won't do anything extra. You tell him, go here, he will go there and stop. And what else should I do? So he will depend on you for all directions, for all instructions. Okay, the third one is you just tell him one time and he will go ahead and finish the project, do whatever is required, everything he will do. And the fourth kind is the one you don't even need to tell him anything. He knows exactly what my guru wants, what my work is, what my job is. So he says this student was like that fourth one. So the student where he doesn't even need just being in the presence of the Mahatma, his questions are answered. Same thing used to happen to Raman Maharishi. People would come and there would be long line of people, so many people, hundreds would go by every day. He would be just sitting in his seat, in his own bliss. And then people would ask him questions. Sometimes he would answer, sometimes he would not answer. Sometimes he would say, who has the question? Go think. And sometimes he would not say anything, but people walking by in his presence, they felt that whatever question they had come with has been answered. So that is the glory of the teacher, and that is the glory of the student who can understand that. So here, as we said, the senses have to be coordinated. Like I'm listening, I'm looking at somebody, and suddenly the sound comes, and then my attention goes there, or I'm not paying attention to that person, even though that person is talking. My mind is somewhere else, my eyes are somewhere else, or I am eating something, or my mind is on food. So the eyes, the ears should all be coordinated. And also they say that Gurudev in his commentary says that the senses, each one does their own job. Each one, no, eyes don't interfere in what the ears are listening. Eyes say, I will only see, ears only listen. But each one together doing their own work, they are able to guide the body in the right direction. But in our case, you and me, we don't do our work. We are always interested in what the other person is doing. Wo aisa kyun kar raha hai? Aisa kyun nahi kar raha? Why is he doing this? Why is he not doing that? So we are always interested in poking our nose in other people's business. So they say that we should do our job, what we have been assigned, and do it correctly, and do not even need the teacher to again and again tell. Once he has told us, then that is important. And teamwork is very important, you know, where the, as I said, the mind has to be behind the senses. And we'll talk about mind controlling in the next mantras, but the mind has to control and the attention should be on what I am doing. There's a story of Gurudev. He was talking to some rishishyas, some student, and suddenly a door opened. And it wasn't even a little creak of the door. You know, sometime with the wind, the door moves and everybody turned behind. So Gurudev says, are you here to listen to me or the creaking of the door? If you have no interest in the studies, so no more teaching today. So he canceled the rest of the classes. Because that's what, when you were in front of him, you had to pay full attention. So that was the importance. And intellect controls. So the intellect, which is guided by the shastras, and that is very, very important, that intellect has to be guided by the shastras and by the guru. So scriptures become the directions, like when we are going. You know, in the olden days, we had maps, you know, you have a paper map. So you read the map and then, or nowadays you have GPS. So that is the scriptures, and the lady and the GPS voice is the guru. The one is telling you, go 1 mile and turn left, turn right. So she is the guide, she is the guru. So the scriptures have to be our GPS. And the guru is required to interpret the scriptures for us. So that's why both are important. And then they talk about the importance of thoughts, intellect. Because as my thoughts, so is my speech. As my speech, so is my actions. So what they say is that the thoughts and the speech and the actions have to be coordinated. It means what I think, what I speak and what I do should be coordinated. That is called Arjavam. That's why Arjuna, the name Arjuna came, because he was very straightforward. But if we are thinking something else, speaking something else, and doing something else, then that is not Arjavam. Also, one has to be very careful about our thoughts, because what happens is that repeatedly, if we have the wrong thoughts, wrong ideas, wrong, you know, maybe we are following some guru on teacher on the internet and he's giving us wrong information, or reading some books that are not guided us correctly, not guided by the scriptures, then what happens is my thoughts become persistently wrong. And when my thoughts are persistently wrong, then I say the wrong thing, I do the wrong thing, and it forms habits. So thoughts, repeated thoughts and repeated actions make habits, and then all habits put together make a character. So if I want my character to be good, I have to become very careful about my thoughts first. Control the thoughts and direct the thoughts in the good direction, again guided by scriptures, and guided by our parents, our elders, you know, who have given us the right understanding. So when my thoughts are good, then my speech, actions, habits, and character all will be good. And this chariot is also given in Tulsi Ramayan, in Vibhishan Gita, but that is a more elaborate chariot where the, each wheel has some meaning, and the arm, all the arms that they are carrying. But the idea of the chariot is used in many places. So that is what we'll do. So here we have seen what the chariot is and what are the components of the chariot. Now they are going to give us two different types of individuals who are using this chariot of the body. Harshaben, you have this Valli 3, mantra number 5. Yastva vijnanavan bhavati.
Yet
भवति
युक्तेन मनसा सदा
युक्तेन मनसा सदा
तस्येन्द्रियाण्यवश्यानि
तस्य इन्द्रियाणि वश्यानि
दुष्टाश्चाश्वा इव सारथेः
दुष्टा श्वास एव सारथे
Can mute. यस्त्वविज्ञानवान् भवति अयुक्तेन मनसा सदा तस्येन्द्रियाण्यवश्यानि दुष्टाश्चाश्वा इव सारथेः So in five, they are talking about the individual who is unwise. And in the sixth, the individual who is wise. So first he says, yaha tu. Yaha tu means yaha, the individual. Tu means certainly avijnanavan, who is does not have the right knowledge. Bhavati. Bhavati means the one who does not have this right knowledge. And Ayuktena manasa sada. And the mind's manasa sada is always ayukta, means his mind is not coordinated with the intellect. So we'll talk about that. So mind, intellect says do something, but mind says I'll do my own thing. And then such an individual whose mind and intellect are not coordinated and who is avijnan, who the vijnanavan, who doesn't have the right knowledge, then tasya indriyani avashyani. Then his sense organs are not under his control. How? Dushta ashwa, eva sarathi, just as there is a sarathi, one who is controlling the chariot, and he does not have control over the reins, then what will happen to the horses? They will become wild, untamed. Each horse will go in the five different directions, and the individual, the chariot, will not reach. So, as we said, the first thing is clear knowledge, proper understanding of what I have to do, what is my goal, what is my purpose. And we'll talk about that, how to move in that direction. And the mind is uncontrolled, disinterested. Mind says, intellect says, do this, mind says, I'll do what I feel like doing. Why? Because mind has never been taught to listen. See, from childhood, the children have to be taught to listen, and then only they will listen. So, same way, the mind has not used to listening, so does whatever it wants. And the senses run wild, the five senses, because again, there is no control over the horses. If the reins are not tight and the intellect is, when the sarathi is not holding the reins correctly, then the senses will run wherever, the horses will run wherever. So when the intellect and the mind are not working together, then the five senses run in five different directions. And then the sarathi is lost. He doesn't know what to do. So how does it apply in our life? You know, we have go through four stages, you know, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. And there are certain duties that we have to do as a student, as a householder, as a retired person, and then as a sannyasi who has given up the world. Some people directly go to sannyas. Those are rare. In from student, they directly become sannyasis. But majority of us go through this. So when I am in my student days, then what is my duty? I have to study. I have to listen to my parents. I have to, you know, live a disciplined life. Then, as a householder, from age 25 to 50, I have to earn. I have to take care of my family. But householder's duty does not end with only family. Householder is required to take care of his children, take care of the senior parents, and take care of society. That means giving to good organizations, taking care of sannyasis, mahatmas. That's why when, you know, Swamiji's come, it is an honor to offer them bhiksha, because that is how you fulfill your duty to that. So they say there is, we have different kinds of debts, like this Devarin, so you have to take care of the environment. Then Pitrurin, our ancestors who have given us the culture, so we have to follow that. Then Bhutarin, then taking care of other beings, animals and also other humans, taking care of society. And Rishirin, the rishis who have given us the scriptures, one should read the scriptures, follow them, and propagate them. So we have different debts. So in a householder, it is required for him to do that. And that's why they say, suppose there is a mother and a father and two children, family of four, and one wants to go for a spiritual camp. Other one said, I don't like all this spirituality. I want to go to a party, or I want to go shopping, or I want to go. Then the life they will not be coordinated. One wants to go this way, one wants to go other way, mother and father. And then children don't know, they don't have direction. So you can say, like, one is like the intellect, and another one is like the mind, the father and mother. So the two, when they are coordinated, then the children who are like the sense organs get the right direction how to live my life. So it is very important for the mother and father to be coordinated and have similar goals. And the goal of life for the family is that all of them should go in that direction. That's why we have Bal Vihar. So taking the children to Bal Vihar, making sure they're getting the right knowledge, teaching them the right values, as we talked about, values rather than valuables. See, Gurudev said most people want valuables, but Gurudev says more important is values. And so that is, so the priority of the whole family should be moksha. Moksha should be the priority. Of course, for the children, they may not be at that level, but at least teaching them the right values and inculcating in them a spirit of sacrifice, that just as we take care of the family, take care of each other, we are responsible to take care of our society also. And for an individual, again, he should do regular sadhana, regular, studying of the scriptures, regular do some karma yoga, bhakti, systematically, it should be done. It should be not like a shopping mall, I get this, I get that. Not like that. Again, one has to have a whole pattern. And maybe in the early stages of spiritual sadhana, karma yoga is very important, because your mind is, which has too many vasana pressure. Gurudev says vasana pressure is very high. Then such an individual should do karma yoga. Through karma yoga, I become unselfish. Learn to serve society, and then when my mind is wandering too much, do some japa, so chanting the name of the Lord. So depending on the stage, if the mind has too much impurity, then do karma yoga. If the mind is agitated or wandering, do japa. And when the mind is quiet, then do the right knowledge, and then meditation. So in meditation, whatever knowledge I have becomes my own knowledge, and the wrong ideas, that who I am, that is removed in meditation. I think I am the BMI, but scriptures say I am that Atma. So that is very important, and that will happens in meditation. Meditation may you won't get enlightenment. People think I'm sitting for meditation, suddenly a light will shine and then Bhagwan Vishnu will come. It doesn't happen. All you do is get the right understanding. And then ultimately, as we have studied in Kathopanishad, when you choose God exclusively, when you choose Atma exclusively, then Atma reveals itself to you. So I have to make an exclusive choice. What choice do I make? And put the mind there, and then ultimately that is called enlightenment, where the Atma reveals itself. And people think scriptures are only for seniors. After age 65, tab padenge, we don't need to read now. No, scriptures have to be taught right from childhood, then to the youth, then to the, grihasthas and everybody. That's why Gurudev started this Bal Vihar and all these, Chik, Chinmaya Yuva Kendra, and then people between 25 and 35. So adult classes, so classes, and for vanaprasthas. And for vanaprasthas, as we say, they should slowly withdraw from the world, spend more time in spiritual studies, and ultimately give up this thing itself. So that is the goal of life. That is the so a person who is unwise does not follow these. His mind is not coordinated, intellect is not coordinated, senses are not controlled, he doesn't have right knowledge, he does not practice sadhana. So for him, his senses are wild and he does not reach his goal of life. What is my goal of life? That has to be very clear. And for that, you need viveka. So what is viveka? What is true? What is untrue? What is temporary? What is permanent? What is real? What is unreal? What is dharma? What is adharma? So what I should do and should not do is very clear. And then such a person can reach the highest goal. But if he doesn't do it, then such a person, his life is shattered. So just like when horses are uncontrolled, they will take the chariot anywhere elsewhere, and then ultimately the chariot will crash. So same way, this individual will not reach his goal. Now I will do number six. Jagriti, you have this? Yeah, Valli 3, number 6. Yastu vijnanavan bhavati
यस्तु विज्ञानवान् भवति
युक्तेन मनसा सदा
युक्तेन मनसा सदा
तस्येन्द्रियाणि वश्यानि
तस्य इन्द्रियाणि वश्यानि
सदश्वा इव सारथेः
सदस्वा इव सारथेः
Think somebody is talking. So you can mute everybody. Yastu vijnanavan bhavati yuktena manasa sada tasyendriyani vashyani sadashva iva sarathehe. So now, but here the teacher tells us, how about the wise person? So we heard in the previous one, how about the unwise? So this is opposite of what the other shloka is. Yaha tu. So yaha means whoever that individual who is vijnanavan, who has the right knowledge, and yuktena manasa sada, and his mind is always coordinated, always sada with the intellect, and his sense organs, tasya indriyani vashyani, and his horses are good horses. So sat here means sattvic, even as though they are sattvic horses, or means the sattvic senses, sarathe of this charioteer. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan talks about what is sattvic buddhi, and which tells how one should live our life. So pravrittim cha nivrittim cha karya karya bhaya bhaye Bandha moksham cha yaveti buddhi sa partha sattviki. So what is a sattvic buddhi? He says one who knows pravritti and nivritti, what to do, what not to do. No, what I should get involved in is pravritti, and what I should withdraw from is nivritti. And karya is what I should do and what I should not do. And bhaya and abhaya, what I should fear, what I should fear and what I should not fear, and bandha and moksha, what is bondage and what is liberation. So pravritti and nivritti means that there is a time when it is time to get involved and there is a time to withdraw. Like I have worked hard my whole life, but now once I am become a grandparent and I am, now I should stop interfering in my children and grandchildren. When asked for advice, you give it. When asked for help, you give it. Otherwise, spend your time in bhakti, in studying, in praying, in, you know, doing some service, giving back to society. So people don't know when to get involved, or some people, even in childhood or in youth or young age, they become lazy. You know, oh, father has left a lot of money, so I can enjoy life. I don't need to do anything. And they just waste their time and waste their life. So life is very precious. So one should know when to get involved and when to withdraw. And then what I should do, what I should not do, that is by the scriptures. You know, the scriptures tell what I should do and what I should not do. Then bhaya and abhaya, what I should fear and what I should not fear. And, or where should I have guilt or where should I not have guilt? So they say fear is like, I haven't done my puja today, or I did not meditate today, or I did not do my yoga, or I did not do my sadhana, I did not do my studies. That I should have fear about. Oh, that's wrong, or I should feel guilt about. But what do we feel guilty about? You know, that person, I didn't invite him to my son's wedding. Now I'm sure he won't invite me to his daughter's wedding. Oh, where did I make a mistake? So we feel guilty about the wrong things. You say, feel guilty about, today I did not, you know, I got up too late. I did not have time to do. So that is what is one should have fear about, not fear about worldly things. You know, it's not very important. And then what should I, bondage and what is moksha? So that should be very clear that my goal of life is moksha, and bondage is what I am attached. So worldly attachments, when it is excessive, that creates bondage. And detachment is very important. We have talked many times that vairagya is a very important quality. That's why it comes right after vivek in sadhan chatushtaya, vivek, vairagya. So detach from what is not important and hold on to what is important. Detach does not mean that I don't love my family or I don't love, or I, but excessive dependence on either a person or thing or a situation or a position leads to sorrow. So the ability to withdraw and to give up is very important. And so the wise person has that. His intellect and mind are coordinated. His buddhi is sattvic, always involved in sattvic activities more and more. I reduce my tamas and rajas and do more sattva. Even while working, if my mind is directed towards serving, service, then my activity becomes sattvic. From rajas, it gets an element of sattva. That's why even we find example of Janak Maharaj, you know, or Dashrath Maharaj, even though they were great kings, but their mind was on spiritual topics. So that's why. And as we said, the intellect has to control the reins. So the just as the charioteer has to have a firm grip on the reins, so same way intellect has to have a firm grip on the mind. Let not the mind do here and there whatever it wants. And once children from childhood are trained to do the right thing and taught, then because later on eventually they will leave the house, they will go to college, they will be in the dorm, and then they're not going to have parents around to watch them, tell them what to do, what not to do. So while the children are at home, they have to have the right guidance, because at they will come a stage where there won't be parents around, or especially once they, you know, get married and so on. So regular Vedanta Shravanam should be done by all the family, the entire family, listening to scriptures. And depending on the age, as we do in our Balvihar, you know, the younger children learn more through stories. And, you know, things like that. And the older kids, we teach them, you know, values more, and Bhagavad Gita and so on. So each child's curriculum has to be tailored. And that's what Gurudev's goal was. And the horses have to be well controlled. And that's why comes Shama and Dama. Shama is control of the mind and Dama is control of the senses. So all of these have to be coordinated. That's why the sadhan chatushtaya should be properly practiced. Shama, dama, that uparati, what I should withdraw from. And Shraddha, having faith in the scriptures, Samadhan, having firm abidance in the knowledge. So all of those, and ultimately Mumukshutvam, I should have a strong desire for liberation, that in this life itself, I should get liberation. The fact that I have this knowledge, you know, we have this Upanishads given to us by Mahatmas, Pujya Gurudev and other Swamis. So we should practice this Bhagavad Gita, we are listening. So practice this and adopt it. And as slowly we'll do it, we'll find that the direction of the, like the chariot is going in the wrong direction and the horses are running wild. The charioteer cannot immediately control, but he slowly, if he does too hard, you know, the whole chariot will twist or fall, turn around. So slowly, slowly, he will control the horses, pull them, pull them, pull them, and then bring them under control. So same way, our life, if it has been going in the wrong direction, through the knowledge of the scriptures and the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita, I should change the direction of my life gradually. It may not happen suddenly, because something I have been doing for long, many, many years, suddenly to stop the habits are not possible. So slowly, slowly change the direction of your life and take guidance from seniors, from elders, from gurus, you know, Swamis and Mahatmas, to how to live our life. So here we have seen that the chariot is the body, the ego is the owner, the intellect is the charioteer, just as Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna's chariot. The mind are the reins which control the horses. So the mind controls the senses. So the senses are the horses and the five paths. You know, even though we say that I see thousand seeing things, I hear thousand things, I see, hear, smell, taste, touch, but it can be classified into five: Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. So sound, light, taste, color, and smell, and touch. So those are the five. So we'll end here. We have about 10 minutes if anybody has any questions. Or any comments. Now, today's topic is quite simple. It's not complicated. Jagriti, you have a question?
No.
You are unmuted. Okay. Sharad, you have something? Other example that I had read about is, like, you know, there is a Subhashita in Sanskrit, that if you go to a Ved and he says, you know, take roots from anywhere. So, you know, they use roots of the plants to make medicine. So take roots from anywhere and crush it and mix them with other medicine from anywhere, just combine. And then the medicine you make, and the patient comes, he said, no matter what problem he has, you give him the same medicine. You know, if he has a backache, same pills, same powder. If he has a headache, same powder. If he has stomach problem, then what will happen? Then the patient will suffer. You know, he will not have, you know, he will not recover. So same way in our life, when we mix up things and we don't have a, that, I'll do whatever I want, then that's what happens. Then our life goes, falls apart, and we are not able to help others. So that's why they say, follow the scriptures and do a systematic study of the scriptures and a systematic sadhana, systematic activities. So that is the goal of life, and that is, so we have seen two different kinds of people: one who follow, one who don't follow, one whose mind, intellect. The intellect has to have the right knowledge and guide the mind correctly, and the mind has to control the senses. So just as a charioteer holds the reins and controls the horses. So that's how one should live one's life. That's the essence of these four mantras. Yeah, Lata, you have a question.
I was reading through that Valli 3 and the last paragraph, and I didn't understand this one, if I may just say this. It says, by thus defining the enjoyer in us, that is the jiva, the Shruti is definitely making a differentiation between the two entities in us. One, the truth principle, the non-doer and the non-enjoyer.
Which mantra is it? 3, 4, 5, 6, which mantra?
Number 4, sorry.
Okay, number 4, okay.
Number 4 and the last paragraph and last 4 lines or 5 lines of it.
Right, okay.
And it says the two entities in us, one, the truth principle, the non-doer and the non-enjoyer, and the other, the delusion-created ego-centered jiva, which is but a reflection of the supreme intelligence in the mental lake. So can you sort of elaborate on this sentence?
Yeah,
I have one question, though, if I may. So intelligence in Bhagavad Gita was the Krishna who held the reins. In our life, how can we become like that? That's what it's trying to say, right? In this four lines.
Right. So I think what they are saying is there are two entities which we had talked last week. You know, the Kshatri, the jiva, and the atma, the consciousness. So they are together, and the ego manifests only when the consciousness reflects in the mind, which is called a reflected consciousness. You know, chidabhasa. So the consciousness reflect does not mean light. What it means, it illumines. So when the consciousness illumines the mind and intellect, gives it sentiency, then the ego is born.
Yeah.
The ego is created due to a reflection in the mind and intellect, which is called chidabhasa, or reflected consciousness. So that consciousness, which is all pervading, can only reflect in the mind and intellect, which is the subtle aspect. It cannot reflect in the body. Like in a stone, consciousness is around, but the stone cannot walk. Even the body by itself cannot function. Only the mind and intellect, when consciousness is reflected in that mind and intellect, then the jivahood arises, that I am this individual, and then only the body becomes sentient. So the enjoyer, experiencer is the ego, and also which is the deluded one, you know, which is delusion created ego center. Gurudev says, only through the guru and through the right knowledge you can get that. So the reflection of the supreme intelligence is that chidabhas in the mind. Yeah. So, and there are two entities, you know, last week we talked about the chhatri, the one chhatri where there is the one and the other. So same way, the ego and the consciousness are together always. But the goal of spirituality is to understand I am not the ego, I am the consciousness. That answer your question?
So is that the same consciousness, that is intelligence, that is holding the reins?
No. That is the intellect. That is the intellect. In Arjuna's case, it was Bhagwan. But in your and my, it is the intellect that is holding the reins of the mind. The intellect has to be guided by the scriptures. The intellect gets sentiency from the consciousness. So that is not consciousness. Even though in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan Sri Krishna is holding.
Right.
But Bhagwan represents the intellect.
Yeah.
In you and me, it is the intellect, the mind, and the senses. Mm-hmm. And the reflection of consciousness, which is the ego. That is the owner of the chariot. So if I say I am Lata, I own this body, then that Lata is the ego, the jiva, the reflection of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And using the intellect and the mind, when they are coordinated, then they can lead us in the right direction.
Mm. So our intellect,
Is not the
our,
consciousness. Our intellect is
yeah,
just the wisdom.
got it. Our vasanas or past tendencies cloud our intellect, or
Yeah, that's why
our
the B, we there.
predispositions are there, right?
Right. In the BMI chart, the vasanas are the ones that obscure Om. That BMI is there, but BMI is not able to perceive Om because of vasanas. So vasanas is the ignorance, the tendencies, the habits, all of those.
Right.
So the consciousness in me is obscured because my attention is outward. That's why even it says na paranchi, it will come here also. That the senses are trained to look outward and they look at the world for happiness. They do not look inward. Very rare is an individual who looks inward. It will, there is one of the very famous mantras in the Kathopanishad. It talks about the senses that instead of looking out, should look inwards for happiness. And then the Bhagavan Sri Krishna has many names, and he's called Govinda, Gopala, and all. So I'll just very quickly in 2 minutes tell the meaning of four names. See, go. The word go means cows, first of all, cow. So he was a Gopal, he was a cowherd. Then go also means the Vedas, go means the earth, and go means Indriyas. So go is Indriyas, means the Lord is the one that is controlling my senses, through the intellect and the mind, it is consciousness. Then go is also earth. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna came to remove evil from the earth. Paritranaya sadhu nam vinashaya cha duskritam. He came to protect the earth. Bhagwan, and not only Bhagwan, he said, yada yada hi dharmasya. Whenever dharma goes on the decline, I manifest. He came as Sri Rama, he came as Narsimha, he came as Bhagwan Krishna, all of those. Then the Vedas, again, it's the Bhagwan who gave us the knowledge of the Vedas, and there is a story of this Matsya avatar, the fish avatar. When there was a demon called Hayagriva, and he wanted to take the Vedas away so that the humans may not get the right knowledge and he may be able to dominate the earth and heavens. So he took the Vedas and went underwater. He was swimming deep, deep in the water to destroy the Vedas. And Vishnu Bhagavan appeared as Matsya Avatar. Hayagriva means he had a neck like a horse. So his neck and head was like a horse and his body was like a human. So he was a demon. So Matsya Avatar, so that was Vishnu's first avatar, Matsya Avatar, where Bhagwan came to, he destroyed that demon, killed him and brought the Vedas out and made it available for us. So Bhagwan is the protector of the Vedas, protector of the earth, protector of the cows, and also the guide of the senses, the indriyas. So go has four meanings. So we can see in Bhagwan Krishna's or in Vishnu Bhagwan's life, all the four manifestations of. That's why he's called Gopala, Govinda. Govinda means the Lord of the senses. Gopala means the one who takes care of the cows. Like that. Okay, we
Thank
can end
you.
here. And then next week, they will continue more about the chariot example and some more facts about that. And then other mantras, which will kind of expand on that. And then the gradation, what is controlled by what, that will be given. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you.